This edition of Talking HR with Lori and Lisa, where as always, our goal is to give you a real look at today's HR world through the sharing of experiences, knowledge, and inspiring people practices. I'm your host, Lori Rilkoff.
And I'm Lori's co-host, Lisa Fuller. After our summer hiatus, we are back with our podcast and a very special guest. Wayne Porterfield is a dear friend of mine and the owner of Mindfulness Studio based here in Kamloops. His meditation experience spans over 35 years, and Wayne spent 5 of these years living in a contemporary monastic sanctuary under the spiritual guidance of an ordained Vedic monk. Throughout Wayne's spiritual journey, he studied Eastern mysticism, Buddhist philosophy, Kashmir Shaivism, and Anusara Yoga. So forgive me, Wayne, if I got those pronunciated wrong. Okay. For over 27 years, he worked in the area of finance, training and leadership, and employee development, and held the position of Director Human Resources in the corporate world. Wayne has a Master of Science in training from Leicester University, is a certified professional co-active coach, and a 500-hour registered yoga teaching certificate. So drawing from his business and spiritual experience, Wayne worked to help individuals create and live a more fulfilling and peaceful life through his teachings, public speaking, and writings. Wayne wrote the book, The Dance of Dynamic Peace, and helps organizations and individuals with overall well-being through meditation, yoga, and mindfulness coaching. Welcome, Wayne. We're excited to have you here today.
Well, thank you both, Lisa and Lori, for having me today, and I'm really glad to be here. It's a great opportunity to speak to HR professionals and organizational leaders regarding meditation and mindfulness in the workplace. And in preparing for today's podcast, I was thinking about the challenges facing employees and employers. In particular, as we approach the busy holiday season, there's a common language of carving out moments for increased presence and connection, both with ourselves and the people who fill our lives. The rapid pace of our daily routines often leaves us overwhelmed and distant from the aspects of life that fuel our happiness and inner serenity. So, you know, as we explore this topic today, maybe we could explore strategies for fostering presence, cultivating resilience, and promoting overall wellness in our lives, irrespective of the season, the work challenges, or external circumstances.
So, Wayne, Lisa touched upon your background, but could you share a little bit more about your background and journey? And I was just noting there that I think I have the same master's as you do from University of Leicester.
Oh, wow, there you go. We're colleagues there.
I guess so.
Did you go for your convocation too? I did.
That was no, awesome. I didn't. But I was like, I think at the time there was only 5 students in Canada.
Oh, wow.
But it was just being introduced in Canada, that master's program.
Right.
So it wasn't probably as organized as it is today or recently. But could you tell us a bit more about your journey, how you got to this place where you're focused on mindfulness and meditation in helping others?
Yeah, and I'll try to keep it succinct. But like many others, my journey really rose out of a fundamental dissatisfaction with life and a quest to experience more joy and meaningfulness. During the 1980s, I began exploring different philosophical, spiritual, and mystical traditions, such as Eastern philosophy, the Course in Miracles, and Buddhism. And in the 80s, I was introduced to my first teacher, who was an ordained Vedic monk, and eventually, as Lisa said, lived for 5 years in a contemporary monastic lifestyle, learning meditation and studying. And this was in the United States. And during this time, it was very transformational and life-changing for me. I eventually returned to Canada and re-entered the workforce. And during that time, I developed my skills in training and development, completed my master's degree, as you did, Lori, and then really to better support employees and leaders in the workplace, I became a certified coach. All the while, I kept studying spirituality and Buddhism and practicing meditation. And then later, yoga became a constant mindfulness practice for me, leading to my certification as a yoga instructor. It was at this time that I was introduced to Kashmir Shaivism and have been studying that for the past 3 years. About 6 years ago, I left the corporate world and, as Lisa said, wrote a book on the dance of dynamic peace. And I have continued teaching yoga and beginning to offer meditation classes, including for corporate clients as part of their employee wellness programs, where I come in and offer meditation and mindfulness talks to employees to just help them deal with stress and the ever-changing dynamics in the workplace.
That's a fantastic overview, and I really appreciate how you're marrying sort of mindfulness and meditation practices with the workplace and strengthening people's ability to be more present and experience more joy, particularly in today's world and society at large. What are you seeing or experiencing, Wayne, which includes in our workplaces? And why it's important for us to help ourselves in the area of wellness?
Yeah, such a great question. You know, increasingly people feel greater isolation and disconnection from each other, in particular because of social media, technology, and the pandemic, obviously. We're so attached to our phones and social networking that we've lost our human connection, and we all want it desperately. And the pandemic even made it worse. It forced everybody to isolate and also to become fearful of one another, you know, in case of catching something. And so we're still dealing with these negative emotional and psychological effects. There is less peace and contentment in people's lives and greater dissatisfaction, greater stress, and increased mental health issues. And then adding to all this are the current levels of financial and political uncertainty, along with the current environment in the world around war. So with the increased advent of remote working, employees also feel less connected and isolated. The cost of mental health issues in the workplace are steadily increasing, which creates greater stress in the workplace. There's fewer people to do the work, and employers have increased cost as a result. And so when we can introduce meditation and mindfulness practices into the workplace, there are really great benefits that can help both the employee and the employer in terms of overall wellness.
If you could help understand more about the effect of social media, Wayne, on how, you know, it's so prevalent now, especially with young people and the pressures and stress that amplifies, how does mindfulness address that aspect?
Well, mindfulness really is about how do we come back to ourselves. We're so focused on external stimulation and validation. And when we can actually reconnect with ourselves, we really begin to get a much better sense of connecting with the joy and the happiness that is in our lives. Social media, you know, also is about images, how we should look, how we think we should look, how we should be, how we should be connected. There's always this pressure to stay connected and to do more and to be more. And so it really adds to the stress level, unnecessarily so. I mean, we can use these tools to really support ourselves, social media, technology, all of that, while still maintaining the values that are most important to us. And so one of the disadvantages of social media is we get lost in the, you know, just so much coverage of everything. It's like, you know, the news is on for 24 hours a day and, you know, they cover the stories 24 hours. Well, we just get lost in all that. What do we need to think? What do we think? And so meditation and mindfulness practices are really about coming back into the present moment. Can I be here and present and not be so affected by the external changing winds and environment of time but really be grounded in myself. And then from that place of groundedness, I actually am much more open, much more responsive and less reactive to be able to function in the workplace, in my home environment, in society in general. So I hope that gives you a sense of, you know, some of the challenges with social media, but also how we can begin to use these tools to actually help us.
So we all have a fear of, I think in some ways, social media has really amplified that fear of missing out a little bit. So you see all these people doing all these wonderful things on social media, and it's like, oh, I'm not doing that, or I'm staying home, or how do I, you compare yourself so much to social media and people doing things in that world. And you talked about the benefits of being present. And I'm just curious, how do we do that exactly? I know I've tried. I'm not very, very good at being present, and it's an area I need to work on. But maybe share for our listeners, how does one begin a practice to become more present?
Well, you know, each of us, whether we are aware of it or not, we all live in our minds. You know, we're predominantly focused either on past events or future fantasies. You know, in the past, we ruminate on what might have been or dwell on past regrets. Or from a future perspective, we worry about what could happen or what might happen. Or as you were saying, Lisa, you know, what are other people doing? And how do I stay current with everything? And how do I stay up with everything, you know, that's happening in the world? One of the questions I would be asking is, well, why do you want to? You know, it's like, you know, where is that being of benefit to you? And I'm not talking about in terms of one's career, because you always want to be, you know, developing the skill sets that you need to. And there's certainly technology changes and you need to stay in touch with technology. But when we start comparing ourselves to others, or we start trying to keep up with the Joneses, we're adding a lot of stress to our lives. And so if we can begin to develop a practice of mindfulness, and I can talk a little bit about what mindfulness is, and also a practice of meditation, it can really help us to reconnect with what's most important to us, because we get lost in the frenzy of social media and news and, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak. And then we practice mindfulness to really help us to stay aware of what's going on within ourselves. So let me just define meditation for you. And there's a lot of misperceptions about what is meditation. You know, it's not like you're going to, you know, go to a cave and sit there for 50 years and come out. That's, you know, that's a very old model of what meditation is. So meditation is the practice of sitting and being in the observation of what is, without judgment. So it's a matter of sitting for a period of time on a regular basis where you just sit and you are present. And most people think, well, I can't do that because my mind is too busy. Well, first of all, the mind's job is to think. That's what it does. And so our focus is not about stopping the mind. That's not what meditation is about. But we use a focus in meditation, such as the breath, to help you come back into the present moment. You also see this in yoga for many of the listeners, and even for yourselves. If you've practiced yoga, you know that there's an emphasis on the breath, which connects the body and the mind. Instead of being so focused in the mind, we lose touch with the body. So meditation is the practice of sitting and being in the observation of what is, without judgment. And we do that on a regular basis. Mindfulness is our ability to be aware of oneself in the moment, to know that you're aware of yourself, and to be observing with non-judgment and openness to what is. So mindfulness we practice throughout the day. It's almost like it's our informal meditation. And meditation is our formal practice where we actually are sitting to meditate. And there are numerous benefits to doing those practices.
So Wayne, one of the services you offer is mindfulness coaching.
Yes.
Can you describe that a bit more for us?
Yeah. So as a certified coactive coach, it's a long acronym, CCPC, it really is about supporting people from the perspective of what's happening in their life, what are the stresses in their life, and looking at what are the beliefs, ideas, or perspectives that you hold to be true that are actually creating more stress for you. You know, for each of us, we hold beliefs and perspectives that we've created over our lifetime. Some of them have been ingrained from childhood. Some of them have been ingrained from education, from culture, society, how we grow up. And we create our perspective and our persona of the world and ourselves. And so as we go through life, when we start to create stress within ourselves, we often find that the belief system that I'm holding to be true is no longer serving me. And so we may have created a belief system that says, you know, I'm not good enough. We might have a belief system that says that I'm not worthy. And so we begin to look at that and to help somebody to understand from a mindfulness perspective where the ideas about how this has evolved really has come from within them and their background and their experience. So we bring them into the present moment, or I bring them into the present moment, and we just talk about belief systems, ideas, perspectives that are holding them back, and help people to work through those so that they can let go of those or let them be and actually move forward in a way that serves them in a more productive and more beneficial way, rather than getting stuck in sort of an endless loop of negative beliefs. Does that answer your question, Lori?
Yeah, okay. That's certainly clear. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, that's very helpful to have that defined in such a understandable way. I think sometimes we complicate it and think we have to sit and meditate for an hour or do it perfectly. And I remember one conversation you and I had, Wayne, where you said you don't have to. It's just a matter of being there and imagine clouds floating by with all your thoughts. And that really resonated with me, that I don't have to beat myself up like I have to do this perfectly. And I don't have to necessarily sit here for 30 minutes and completely, no, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 1 minute might be okay.
Yeah. And there is something called a one breath meditation, where you're just sitting and you just breathe slowly in and you breathe slowly out. I mean, that just slows you down. But another analogy I like to use for individuals when I'm teaching my meditation classes is the idea that we are like a mountain. And as a mountain, we observe the changing seasons, the winter, the spring, summer, the fall. We observe the rain when it falls. We observe the scorching heat of the sun. We observe the wind that blows. And through it all, to whatever is happening, we remain the mountain. We remain the observer, present and aware. So there isn't an idea about escaping. There isn't an idea about, you know, not being present. In fact, we become much more present because we're present to whatever's happening, but we're also not attached. If I have, you know, thoughts that ruminate in my mind, I'm not attached to them. They come, they go. They're impermanent. There's somewhere between 7,000 and 70,000 thoughts in a day. I'm not quite sure how science measures that, but that's what I've my research has shown. And how much of those thoughts do you remember? And yet we ruminate on certain thoughts. And when we ruminate on certain thoughts, it's as if we have jumped on those clouds that are going by on the mountain, and we become attached and identified by those. The meditation, mindfulness practice, is to not get hooked by those clouds. We observe them, we notice them, and we allow them to move through us, recognizing that nothing is permanent. Everything is impermanent. And this has, you know, great benefits, not just for the employee, but for the employers, you know, in terms of introducing these practices into the workplace, as well as for application in one's personal life.
So just touching upon that, Wayne, about the workplace, what specifically can employers do in terms of introducing these concepts into their workplaces?
Yeah, you know, employers play a significant role in terms of increasing the practice of mindfulness in the workplace. And I wanted to just quote a few case studies that specifically relate to this and how it's advantageous for organizations. So according to a study conducted by the National Institute of Health and Care Excellence in the UK, mindfulness programs in the workplace have been shown to reduce stress by up to 35%. A survey up by the American Psychological Association found that 79% of employees reported feeling more engaged and satisfied at work when mindfulness programs were offered. And in a study published in the journal Psychological Science, researchers found mindfulness meditation can enhance creativity and problem solving, which are valuable skills in today's corporate environment. And then finally, Corporate Leadership Council reported that organizations that report more employee wellness programs, including meditation programs that are part of an organization's programs, that they experience a 17% increase in productivity. This, you know, doesn't even touch on the fact of reduced sick time, employee increased engagement and retention, and lower mental health costs. So the employers, there's a great number of benefits for them. And so how do they introduce this? Like, one of the things that I offer is a lunch hour guided meditation and a mindfulness talk. It helps employees to really focus on de-stressing. I give them tips on how to remain mindful in the workplace, how to increase communication, how to increase a sense of empathy within the workplace, and also compassion within the workplace. And so this is one of the tools. They can incorporate, you know, yoga into their lunch hour for employees. Maybe it's not even in their location, but maybe they, you know, have a corporate discount at a yoga studio that employees can take advantage of. Or they provide yoga in their organization, which can also be very helpful for sure. And then just in reinforcing mindfulness practices about taking mindful breaks throughout the day, you know, walks in nature, desk yoga. There's a way that you can practice desk yoga, body scan awareness, so employees can become more aware of the stress and tension in their bodies. Digital detoxing, step away from the digital technology. And then, like I said, you know, incorporating meditation and mindfulness practices are very helpful. Not just for the employee, but for the employer as well.
I love those suggestions. They're so fantastic. And even as we were talking, I put up my stand-up desk and just, you know, hearing you talk, it's easier to slow down and take some deep breaths. And in those stressful moments in the day, sometimes that's all it takes. It's just reminding ourselves. Are there some practical suggestions on how, as individuals, we can incorporate this into our work day, into our evening, into our life, and make it really simple and not too overwhelming?
Totally. It doesn't have to be another thing to do on your checklist, right? It becomes a way of being. And that, I think, is really important in today's fast-paced society. You know, people's lives are so busy between work, home, you know, dealing with family, kids to, you know, sports events or whatever, and just being bombarded with so much information. We need to step away and desensitize and slow down and get in touch with what's important to us. And it's life-changing.
So part of that, you talk about in your work, the concept of inner peace. Can you tell us more about how that is actually more of a dynamic state than a static one?
Yeah, for sure. And I love how you already refer to inner peace as a state. And that's so true, Lori. It's not something that we can obtain. You can't buy it. You can't barter for it. Inner peace really arises out of a meditation and mindfulness practice where we begin to slow down and peel away the limited thinking and experiences that we have. We're so focused on external gratification. You know, if I get that new job, the new house, the new car, or that dream vacation, I'll be happy. And yet once we acquire those things, then what? You know, what more is there? And soon the shine that's on that new house fades, and we're once again dealing with, you know, feeling dissatisfied. So inner peace is dynamic like life. There is ups and there are downs that we experience. You know, one moment is joyful and the next can be sad. We experience excitement and then the next moment we're bored. You know, our moods and emotions fluctuate with the ever-changing winds. So too does inner peace. You know, it fluctuates as well. But when we practice mindfulness and meditation, there's like this current or flow that keeps us centered in the awareness of ourselves, in the awareness of being in the present moment. And when we continue to practice, we actually help to strengthen that inner peace so that we're not so much swayed by the ups and downs of life. Our inner peace flows with life like a river. You know, the river is flowing on its way to the ocean, and it meanders and it curves and it, you know, winds its way out into the ocean. But it flows. It's not getting caught up in whatever's happening in the moment. It just keeps flowing. And so for us, when we develop a state of inner peace, that inner peace is our ability to flow with whatever is happening in the moment. We're more resilient, we're more self-compassionate, and we are more patient with ourselves. And we even get to a point where we can laugh at ourselves with perhaps some of the silliness that we think, or the ideas that we create about how life should be versus how it is. I also like to give the example of, you know, life and the stress in life is really related to like a river. And when you're flowing with the river, there is no stress. But the moment you start swimming across the stream or trying to swim upstream, there's a great deal of stress and a great deal of struggle. And so if we can be in the flow of whatever's happening, we're actually at much less stress. And how do we remain in the flow? Meditation and mindfulness practices help us to stay in the flow of life versus resisting the flow of life.
So can you share some of your mindfulness studio services you offer? I know you're based in Kamloops, but is there ways that others can also access what you provide?
Yeah, for sure. So I do some corporate work, which I offer like a 6 to 10 week series of meditation classes in the corporate environment. Each session is about 30 to 45 minutes during the lunch hour for employees to really learn strategies to managing stress. As I said, creating mindfulness practices, becoming more empathetic, compassionate, and also a focus on gratitude. And I take employees through a 20 minute guided meditation as well. And, you know, it really helps them to de-stress from the day. And then some corporate clients have asked me to do some yoga classes, which I do offer as well, which can also be another way that I can support both employers and employees. And from a non-corporate perspective, I do have a studio, as you said, Lori, in downtown Kamloops, where I offer 6 yoga classes a week. Some are in the morning and some are at 5 p.m. And employers, if they want to offer a service, can reach out to me and I can certainly offer a corporate discount. And then in the evenings, I offer instruction in meditation and mindfulness practices. And these are typically like a 10-week series, exploring and facilitating these sessions through video conference, such as Zoom. And I also provide the one-on-one coaching, as we've talked about, for individuals who are really struggling and need a little extra support and personal care. And there obviously are individual and corporate rates for that as well. And people can, you know, reach out to me through my website, mindfulnessstudio.ca. It's all one word, Mindfulness Studio. And my email is wayne@mindfulnessstudio.ca. So easy to get a hold of me.
Well, I think it's great that, you know, the help that you could provide to organizations with their wellness programs, because often the wellness programs focus so much just on the physical piece. But what you're offering there, to me, is a combination of the physical and mental health and emotional health of employees. And I think that's much more effective.
Yeah, you know, and organizations are facing ever increasing costs for mental health issues, you know, in terms of time off, in terms of benefit coverage and cost. And so if we can help to lessen the impact of mental health issues within the workplace and within people's lives, I mean, that's huge. And that's what my focus is since I've left the workforce, is to really help people to live a life of greater joy, greater peace, and to be less stressed and to enjoy this life. My goodness, it's so short. It passes so quickly.
That is amazing, Wayne. And we are so grateful that you were able to join us today and just share more information and opportunities for all of us to practice mindfulness in a way that's practical and meaningful to help us find that inner peace and progress our journeys as well as quickly or as slowly as it needs to take. It isn't perfection along the way, but it just helps us be present, enjoy the moments. And I loved the analogy of the river. It just is calming, thinking about your life as a river and flowing with it instead of resisting. And it just was very impactful. So thank you so much for your time and sharing all that wonderful knowledge, and encourage anybody to reach out to you, Wayne, for additional support and resources.
No. Thanks so much again for the opportunity to share and to have an impact in people's lives, right? That's what it's all about. And so I'm really grateful to be able to share this.